All right, I got a lot of questions, some of which sort of repeated one another, and so I'm going to try to deal with those right off the bat, and I don't know which one is the best. Okay. How do general evolutionists explain the current existence of monkeys? Or more curiously, that there are still amoeba. Why didn't they evolve? The answer to that by a general evolutionist would be very simple, that single cell would not have been an amoeba. An amoeba is in their minds, a very highly evolved organism. You may not know too much about amoeba, but they are amazing. They have the ability to produce in that what appears to be just a soft cell, a false foot, by making a rigid tube, and then they pull their protoplasm through that tube, and they keep making the tube get hard on one end and it dissolves on the other. That's pretty sophisticated stuff, isn't it? When you start studying some of the smallest organisms, you find out that they are every bit as amazing as what we find in humans. What they won't say that they didn't evolve. They will just say that it was an amoeba-like single cell, you know, early cell. And they don't believe that what exists today as monkeys and chimps and orangutans is the same as it used to be. Modern ones just evolved from a common ancestor, just the way we did. That's how they answer that. So to us, it may look like it is the same, but to the general evolutionist, they don't believe that. And if man came from the primates, how come man is still not evolving from the primates? And in their judgment, we are. We are continually changing. And that's what I said the other day when I was talking about the whole concept of trying to reconcile God and evolution through theistic evolution. You pretty much have to give in to whatever the scientific community says. You're a theistic evolutionist. You can say God's using that process, but all general evolutionists believe that evolution is still going on. It has not stopped and it will not stop. It is still going on. And so a number of these were sort of along that line. I think I've probably answered that okay. If humans came from chimps, that means there must have been some great climate or environmental change to cause this evolution. Alright, how do scientists explain why chimps and apes and such are not still around? I'm having a little trouble reading the last sentence, but let me explain the concept of natural selection and the production of new species and so on. Generally, it has to do with isolation of a population. You know, let's just say that you have a population of these ape-like creatures that they consider to be common ancestors, and something divides that population up into two new populations. You know, maybe they get on different sides of a mountain chain. Do you see how that could happen? The idea is that the longer that they stay apart from one another, they can begin to change through natural selection in different directions. There's a seabird whose distribution in the world goes all the way around the world at the Arctic latitudes. All right? And what we found is it is connected to every other bird and can breed and produce fertile offspring until it gets back around to the beginning. And by the time it gets back around to the beginning, they are so different that they are two new species. That's the whole concept of speciation. And so you can just picture the idea of some of those birds around on the other side of the earth getting wiped out, and you'd have gone from one species to two. But that's just natural selection. I've never had any problem with that, getting a couple of species. I'm much more interested in how you would get a bird from a reptile. how you would get a reptile from an amphibian, how you would get an amphibian from a fish. And I'll talk a little bit about that tomorrow night when I'm doing the fossil record generally. All right, I've dealt with fossil men specifically tonight, but tomorrow night I will deal with fossils just generally. And I will specifically talk about the idea of, are there intermediate fossils? You know, or do, in the fossil record, do we not just find major groups that are not connected? And, you know, what is offered for people on that? And I'm going to talk to you very specifically about what it would take to get from a reptile to a bird. You can make up your own mind whether you think it was whether it's a reasonable possibility. I just don't think the big changes for general evolutionary theory are supported. How old is the oldest Homo sapiens skeleton? Well, it keeps moving back. It started out at hundreds of thousands of years, to half a million, then to a million, then to 2 million, 3, 4, 5. Right now we're back to 6. That's kind of where we are. The earliest common ancestor is thought to be about 6 million years old, earlier than us. And what was interesting is that when that happened, it absolutely trashed a bunch of evidence that appeared to correlate with one another from molecular biology and morphology. And they had it all figured out, and they had all the molecular biology figured out. Then when they found this fossil, they literally had to throw the whole thing out. I mean, and they don't talk about it much. I brought it up in my faculty meeting, and I didn't have anybody leap to its defense, okay? How does this compare with the ages of Neanderthaler, the Australopithecines, etc.? They're all found in different layers, and tomorrow night, if we have time, and I'm not killing you with this, we will deal with the age of the Earth at the end very briefly as we deal with the fossils in general. And I'll tell you ahead of time, you know, if you have to get up and leave, it's not a problem. It does not offend me. We all have jobs. We all have different schedules. If you can hang in with me, I'll get through both the general fossil record and the age of the Earth tomorrow night. I think it'll answer some of these things. I had a lot of questions tonight, guys. I can't specifically tell you all of the similarities and differences between Neanderthalers, Cro-Magnons, and Homo sapiens. I will say this, though. You have to think to yourself what makes humans human. And I've thought about that a long time. And what I've decided is that our ability to be able to reflect on our own death is what makes us really unique. I can't think of any other organism, any other species, that can actually sit down and reflect and contemplate their own death. There is reflective thinking in other organisms, but it's not at the level that we have. All right? And we really don't view them the same way. I have never known an evolutionist who decided that because the dog ate the cat, it ought to go on trial for murder. Even general evolutionists see a difference between animals and man, as much as they'd like to say they don't. They've never put one on trial. So, about the different races, I do want to say this. The races we can test, there are 210 races recognized in the world today, and as far as we know, any man and woman could marry and produce fertile offspring from any of those races. You cannot breed with an orangutan or a gorilla and produce fertile offspring. Nothing's going to come of that union. And I don't have any way to deal with that any better. Couple of questions on here. On my very first day of high school, way back in 1964, well, you'd think that'd make me feel better, but I was actually a freshman in college in 62. My freshman orientation teacher began our class by saying, "If anyone in this class does not believe that you are an animal, please stand up." Now, you know, that is against the law now. That kind of you know, deriding people publicly in a classroom. And I can't believe that some of these things have actually happened. But some of the things that happened to me were also totally illegal. I just chose not to go that direction. And so he says, I was the only one, or I don't know whether it was I was a he or a she. I was the only one who stood up, and of course most of the other students laughed at me. When the teacher asked me why I did not think that I was an animal, I replied, because God gave me an eternal soul, which he did not give to the animals. How should a Christian respond to the question, are human beings animals? Well, that's a bit of a tricky thing. It really depends on the context of what the teacher is trying to do. I have no problem with saying that my physiology, chemistry, molecular biology, organ systems are very similar to animals. My explanation for that is that God used a common plan as he put his creation together because we're all related through the food web. So that's kind of how I answer that now. I've had some people who have refused to answer questions about evolution. That's one way to go at it. But here's what I've encouraged students to do. Learn everything that you can and prove to them that you know it. That you know all of their theories, all of their evidence, and all of their interpretation. And then say, but I don't believe it. I interpret it differently. You have more credibility if you've made A's instead of F's. You see what I'm saying? And I had a very, very close friend, a godly woman, who chose to take a D in a class because she would not deal a D on a test because she would not write answers to questions about evolution at all. And the professor gave her the D because she was a straight-A student. He should have failed her. Me, I chose the opposite route. When I took my evolutionary theory classes, I decided I was going to know it as well or better than the other students in the class, and I was going to make A's, which I did. And I think that gave me more credibility. That's how I handled it. My son said in biology class, they say the salt content in tears is the same as that in ocean water. This supposedly supports general evolution. Any comment? Well, obviously, if you believe in general evolution, there's a way to interpret that fact that fits into the theory, you know. But I don't, you know, you've already started by stating what your faith is on that one, you know. If you say that that's the reason it's that way, that's a big leap of faith. When, I'm going to skip over that one if you don't mind for the time being. I've got some others. The finches in your slide yesterday were categorized into different species based on minor difference like the size of their beaks. Why aren't humans divided into multiple species by physical attributes like height, race, size of the jaw, etc.? Because we can still interbreed and produce fertile offspring. Darwin's finches cannot. They may have very, very small differences. In fact, in Lake Victoria, there are 200 species of cichlid fish that live in Lake Victoria that most of us would never in our life be able to tell the difference between them. But they do not interbreed and produce fertile offspring. And that is really the working definition of whether something is a species or not. It's two species if they can't interbreed and produce fertile offspring. It's one species if they can. So no matter how slight the differences may be, if they do not interbreed and produce fertile offspring, you say that they are separate species. I hope that answers the question. Define your meaning of theistic evolution and intelligent design. Well, I'm the intelligent design. No, I'm sorry. I actually haven't talked about intelligent design. I only mentioned it one time. Theistic evolution, I'll state it again really clearly, is a decision on the part of somebody that in their faith they are going to say that God created, He is the creator, but that the Bible doesn't tell us how He created, and He created through general evolutionary process. In a nutshell, that's it, that God used evolution to create us, and we are what we are. Now, the second question is really the more important one. Why does theistic evolution have to be going on if you do believe in that. If God began it, why couldn't he stop it at the end of the sixth day? Well, he certainly could, but when is the end of the sixth day? At what point are we to the end of the sixth day? I mean, general evolutionists believe that we are still evolving, and they can show natural selection certainly now. So, are we at the end of the sixth day yet? That's the real issue, and I can't answer that for anybody. You know, I just think, even though I don't have all the answers, I don't have any problem with saying that the God who raised Jesus from the dead after 3 days could create in six. They're both miracles that I don't understand. And so it just, I just don't see theistic evolution as the way to go. You know, I think it does a lot of damage to how you would have to view the Bible, and of course I had a whole lesson on that. And then, you know, what are the new species and so on? Well, I've explained that already, and about it would be considered a new species if these two birds can no longer interbreed at the end of their distribution, they are two new species. Okay? So all you'd have to do is wipe out the intermediate ones and you'd have two new species. What would be the cranial capacity of Goliath? Big. Mucho cc's. Do identical twins have identical fingerprints? Yes, they do. What is your opinion about carbon-14 dating? I'll deal with that later. Actually, carbon-14 dating doesn't date a single one of the fossils that we looked at tonight or any of the fossils that we're going to look at tomorrow night. The only things that can be measured for carbon-14 are things that have lived, and what you have is the living stuff, like wood in here, like these pews. They could be carbon dated with carbon-14 because they used to be a tree someplace. Okay? And you could date that with carbon-14, but when it comes to the rocks and the fossils, to be honest with you, the most amazing fossils that they have, they don't date the fossil itself, they just date the layer of rock it's in, because they don't want to destroy that fossil. And radioactive dating methods basically destroy the specimen that you're using. And so tomorrow night I'll talk to you about the clock, and there are three methods that are sort of like the hour hand, the minute hand, and the second hand on a clock. I think it'll make a little bit more sense to you, so if you can wait on that one. And why do they put so much faith in it? I'll tell you very honestly, because those of us who are creationists and Bible believers have great difficulty explaining the apparent age of the earth. It's the hardest thing that we have. We still have not figured out a way to explain those particular methods and why they appear to give the ancient age to the earth. And so it's a weak point. So evolutionists attack at our weak point, right? You can't explain it. They attack there. Perfect sense. Question, last ones. Since 60% or more of Americans are believers and are familiar with the Bible creation story, what percentage of Americans do you estimate actually believe in general evolutionary theory versus creation? Well, 95% of the world are theistic evolutionists, no matter what religion they're in. And the fact that somebody is a believer in the Bible and the creation story doesn't keep them from saying, as I said a minute ago, that God created through evolution. So these people who are Christians and say they accept the biblical story doesn't mean they accept an abrupt creation. They may be theistic evolutionists. So I think that skews the statistics. The next question was, would you comment on carbon dating applying to fossilized remains of mankind and so on? And again, I'm just going to defer on that one, if that's all right. Now, is there any other thing that we need to do before we stop? Yes.
I'm a big believer in common sense, and I don't believe any written code is any kind of book or anything is infallible. And I think good illustration of this is in the various laws of the Old Testament, such as do Deuteronomy 23:1. I think that illustrates how the Old Testament, let's say, is infallible. And also, Christ said that the written code kills, but the Spirit gives life. And I'm a big believer in a lot of things that Christ said. And also, when I was growing up, I started watching college football, and the average offensive lineman was like 6 foot, 200 pounds. And then 40 years later, they're like 6'4", 300 pounds. I was wondering how you can interpret that.
Okay, you got a lot of questions. I tell you, I hope that...
Questions I wanted to ask...
I have to cut you off, and I'll tell you why. Because there's a lot of other people here that would also like to ask the questions. And the way that this has been structured was to do it in a written form. And you've just asked me 5 or 6 questions.
Asking 2 questions, basically.
Well, but what I'm saying is I'm not going to answer them right now because it isn't the way that we did this tonight. I would be glad to talk with you after this is over. Perfectly happy to talk with you. Okay? You know, and I think it would be good if you could talk with some of these people. I will make this one comment. You say that you believe that the Bible is not infallible, and you gave an example. So I would just ask you a question, and that is, how do you know that the parts that you believe about Jesus are not a mistake?
I don't believe any written code is infallible, not even the New Testament.
Okay, that's fine. We'll stop with that then, guys. Thank you for your attention. I really appreciate it.